have time for many of the saints to really fellowship, but because of the limitation of time, and we have quite a few things to cover, and it's a conference time, so let's continue with verse 40. Of course, we should not forget that we need the high priest here need a turban made of fine linen. And then a sash of woven work. It's the girdle here. It's very important. The girdle shows us that he is ever ready to serve us. To put on a girdle means the readiness to serve in the Bible. Right? So here we should not forget that we need also a covering for our head, a turban. And for Aaron's son here, right, it is actually a hat. Anyway, our head really needs salvation. I don't know about you, but we all need to learn to reject all kinds of thoughts that shouldn't be there. Yes. And you better start now, especially young people. Learn to say no to these thoughts. Right? It doesn't belong to my mind here. Lord, renew my mind. Amen. Sanctify my mind. Amen. Right? You have to learn to reject thoughts that should not be there. It's very important. Otherwise, how can you have the mind of Christ like Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 2? Right? Paul says, but we have the mind of Christ. No wonder in reading the Word of God we cannot understand so many things that are written there. It's because our mind is not renewed. It's not possible if whole day long we're daydreaming and thinking about this, thinking about so many things, and all of a sudden we come to the Word of God and we want to know. I think it doesn't work like that. Right? So we do need to have a hat. And here, for Aaron's sons, you shall make tunics, and you shall make sashes for them, and you shall make hats for them, for glory and beauty. On one hand, it is for glory and beauty, but on the other hand, it is for the covering. So you shall put them on Aaron, your brother, what belongs to the high priest, and on his sons with him, and you shall anoint them, consecrate them, and sanctify them, that they may minister to me as priests. And you shall make for them linen trousers to cover their nakedness, and they shall reach from the waist to the thigh. And they shall be on Aaron and on his sons when they come into the tabernacle of meetings, or when they come near the altar to minister in the holy place, that they do not incur iniquity and die. It shall be a statute forever to him and to his descendants. Now, especially to the priest, the matter of holiness and the covering that the flesh will not be exposed there, right? That you will not be fleshly. In serving the Lord, you cannot be fleshly. The priesthood especially. You know, in All the past 50 years, I've seen so many serving ones that ended up not in a very good way. Because you never learn to deal with the flesh. You have to learn to deal with it. That doesn't mean that we are perfect. We are not perfect. But you have to deal with them. Don't just let it go. Right? Your thoughts, don't just let it fly around and liberty to think of so many vain things. You can have vain thoughts anyway, but you have nothing, it's zero. That's why it's called vain thoughts. What's the use of thinking about this and that? And oh, you think that you're in Hawaii, but you're really not in Hawaii. So what's the point? What's the point? Forget about it. Right? There's no substance, no reality. You may be dreaming you're in Hawaii, you know, but it's vain, vanity. Forget about those things. Tell the Lord, Lord, no. Renew my mind. I want to know concerning heavenly things. No wonder Paul said in Colossians, you must set your mind on the things above where Christ is and not on the things below. If you are not a person who learned and exercised to set your things and minds, your mind on the things above, no wonder when you come now to the Word of God, you cannot understand. You have a hard time comprehending the things of the Lord. In Romans 8, to set your mind on the Spirit. Right? Or to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Or in Romans 12, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know what is perfect, good, and acceptable will of God. Right? So the mind is very important. Do not let your mind just go all over the places. Right? It's good to learn. Right? It's good to learn. Because without doing that, it'll be very difficult for you to even understand what the Spirit is telling you. So here, let us come back to see that the garments for Aaron and the garments for the priesthood, his sons, are different. The high priest has a very elaborate, wonderful, intricate garments with so many layers, and you can really see beautiful garments there. Right? Because he's the high priest. And the high priest signifies our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? So Christ today in the heavenly is our great high priest. And he is the one that is really qualified to put on this garments of Aaron, because he is the great high priest today. Right? But we as the priesthood, the sons of Aaron, you shall make tunics for them, also that garment, and sashes, but they are made of just fine linen here. Right? So you shall put them on Aaron, your brother, and on his sons, and you shall anoint them and consecrate and sanctify them. So, meaning to say that for his sons, we are not like the great high priest. For his sons, it's good enough that they have this really fine linen, pure and bright, just like the bride wearing that garment, pure and bright, the white linen. But that doesn't mean that it's good enough for us, no. But it means that we are not qualified like the great high priest. We still need to grow. We still need to gain the Lord. We still need to be transformed. to be transformed into his image. But today, at least the very basic of the priesthood is that we have to be righteous. We have to be pure and we must be holy. That we have to be. We may not be so strong as to bear everything on our shoulder and to really qualify to wear such a wonderful ephod, right? But, hey, there is a minimum requirement. Don't think there is no requirement for us. There is. There is. And if we do not learn to put on this priestly garment for the sons of Aaron, it'll be very difficult for us to really serve. All the service will end up, I don't know what. It's going to be chaotic. Right? So here, praise the Lord, you shall put them on Aaron, your brother, and on his sons with him, you shall anoint them, consecrate them, sanctify them. Well, praise the Lord. That's why many of the people who do not have the concept of being priests, they don't care so much of sanctification and even consecration. You know, there's a special consecration which in a few minutes we'll look into it. It is very important. Although we don't have the time, but we'll take an express train, okay? Just quickly go through, and then you can go home and read it yourself, right? And then you shall make for them linen trousers to cover their nakedness. Listen, this is important. Inwardly, outwardly, we have to cover the naked. It's shameful for a priest to expose the flesh. Really. And if you do that, you will incur iniquity and die spiritual death. That is not good. Right. And they shall be on Aaron and on his sons when they come into the tabernacle of meeting. When they come near to the altar to minister in the holy place, which is the golden incense altar, right? And it shall be a statute forever to him and to his descendants after him. Now, let's go to chapter 29 quickly, right? And this is talking about the consecration of the priesthood. There is a special consecration. You know, today we say in a very loose way, Lord, I consecrate myself to you. Which is good. I don't mean that we shouldn't say that. But you must know what kind of a consecration it is that you're talking about. Because the consecration of the priesthood is not so easy. It is not so just simply saying, okay, Lord, here I am. I consecrate myself to you. That kind of a consecration is not acceptable in the priesthood. Sorry. I'm not trying to make it difficult. But this is what it says here. Okay. Now, okay, let's quickly. First of all, you have to put a holy garment on it, right? Right. Then you shall bring his sons and put tunics on them, in verse 8, chapter 29. And you shall gird them with sashes, Aaron and his son, and put hats on them. Right. The priesthood shall be theirs for a perpetual statute. So you shall consecrate Aaron and his sons. How? Number one, you shall have the bull brought before the tabernacle of meeting, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands on the head of the bull. Right. And of course, before that, I'm sorry, I jumped too fast. Okay, let's start from the beginning. You shall hallow them, sanctify them. And how? Take one young bull. That's what you need, young bull. Two rams without blemish. Unleavened bread, unleavened cakes mixed with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil. You shall make them of wheat flour, and you shall put them in one basket and bring in the basket with the bulls and the two rams. This is for the consecration. And Aaron and his sons you shall bring to the door of the tabernacle of the meeting, wash them with water, put on the garments, of course. Now we come to verse 10. What do you do with the bull? The bull is for the sin offering. And you cannot just take a sheep or a goat, a small animal from the herd. You cannot. You need a bull. Because for the priesthood, you are dealing with the holy things of God. You're serving God. So you need a big sin offering. Now, Aaron and his son shall put their hands on the head of the bull. Then you shall kill the bull before the Lord by the door of the tabernacle. You shall take some of the blood of the bull, put it on the horns of the altar with your fingers, and pour all the blood beside the base of the altar. And you shall take all the fat that covers the entrails, the fatty lobe attached to the liver. So many things you need to do. And the two kidneys and the fat that is on them, and burn them on the altar. And the flesh of the bull with its skin and its offal, you shall burn with fire outside the camp. It is a sin offering. And this is exactly a description of the sin offering as in Leviticus. That's very important. Number one, you need a big sin offering. That means in our service as priests to the Lord, you have to deal with your sin. Not just trespass offering, but sin offering, meaning to say that sin and death shall have no dominion over you. There's a difference between sin offering and trespass offering. The trespass offering is actually for the sins that you have committed. Okay, so you take the precious blood of the Lord to wash you, to cleanse you. It's for forgiveness. Yes, there is the forgiveness. But then the next day you sin again, and the next week you do it again, so you'll be taking the blood all the time. But you need a sin offering, and a big one. And the sin offering is to deal with the sin, S-I-N singular, that dwells in the flesh, so that sin, like Paul said in chapter 6 of Romans, sin and death shall have no more dominion over you. You do not become or stay or remain a slave of sin. You must be free. Just like Romans chapter 8 says, and the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. That is the sin offering. So for the priesthood, you need to take a big bull to be your sin offering. There has to be strength there to overcome sin. Not just a little lamb or a female goat. No, right? You need a bull, a strong sin offering. How about that? If you tell the Lord, Lord, I want to consecrate myself to you for the priesthood, the Lord says, well, bring a bull. You say, Lord, a bull? Yes, a bull for a sin offering. Otherwise, how are you going to really consecrate yourself for maybe 3 weeks? It will last. Then after 3 weeks, you're down again. And you're back to your old self. Maybe not this year, maybe 2 years later. Maybe 5 years along the way, you give up. Right? So, first of all, you need a bull for the sin offering. This is very important, right? Then, verse 15, you shall also take one ram. We still have a little time, right? No, so I don't need to go that fast. You shall take one ram. Remember how many rams are there?
Two.
Two. Okay, very good. Oh, you all got good memories. So the first ram, Aaron and his sons shall put their hands on the head of the ram, and you shall kill the ram, and you shall take its blood and sprinkle it around the altar, and then you shall cut the ram in pieces, wash its entrails, all the pieces that are inside, the internal organs, and its legs, and put them in pieces with its head, and you shall burn the whole ram on the altar. It is a burnt offering to the Lord. It is a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. Now comes the burnt offering. You say, we don't need the burnt offering. Forget about the burnt offering. How are you going to consecrate yourself? You tell me. The burnt offering signifies the life of Christ that is fully one with God's plan and God's purpose. His life on the earth is for nothing else. He said, my food is to do the will of the Father and to finish it to the end. And it says in the Psalm, behold, I come. Burnt offering and sin offering, referring to the animals, you don't want them because they are animals. But behold, I come to do your will. And he is the reality of the burnt offering. He is the reality. So without a burnt offering, how are you going to consecrate yourself? No wonder you keep on changing. And at the end, you end up, the church life is not for him anymore, it's for you. For your position. And the meetings become just for us and not for God. And the church becomes your church. In the beginning it was his church. 10 years later it becomes your church. And you replace Christ as the head. And at the end everybody has to listen to you. What kind of a consecration is that? You need a ram for a burnt offering. This is very important. You should fully realize, I'm not for myself here, Lord. I need Christ as my burnt offering. I need a burnt offering. My life must be absolute for the Father. And it is for the Father's enjoyment, a sweet aroma, to satisfy the Father's will. That's the burnt offering. So, to consecrate yourselves to God without a burnt offering, how are you going to do it? Right? So, that's the first ram. Remember that. Okay? Don't forget. Good. Then you shall also take the other ram. Now there's another ram. And Aaron and his sons shall put their hands on the head of the ram. Then you shall kill the ram. You see, the consecration has much to do with our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? And you shall take some of his blood Now, where to put the blood now of the second ram? Put it on the tip of the right ear of Aaron and on the tip of the right ear of his sons. How about that? You like to put on earrings. What about putting some blood on your earlobes? You have the blood. Have you ever put the blood of the ram on your earlobe? I don't think so, right? We don't have that concept. Okay. On the earlobe first. And then on the tip, on the thumb of the right hand, on the thumb of the right hand. How about that? Do you have blood of the ram on the right thumb? And then on the big toe of the right foot, then you sprinkle the blood all around the altar. Right. Now, why on the ear? Because the first thing, if you're consecrated, you have to learn to listen to him. The ear of the priest is to hear what God has to tell you to do and to obey. You know, if your ears is not consecrated, you'll listen to all kinds of junk. And if people tell lies to you, what? Really? Oh, wow, and somebody gossip about George Chua. You know about George Chua. If I tell you, don't tell other people, okay? Keep it for yourself, right? Let me tell you.
There's something wrong.
But you're all ears. What? Tell me. Come on, tell me. Quick, what is it? What about him? Boy, once you open that ears there, all the poison of the snake will come into your mind, into your heart. You will begin to hate that brother. But when the Lord wants to tell you something, you have no ears to hear. You have nothing. You have no ears. You cannot hear him. The truth? Your ears is not consecrated, not saved. No blood on your right ear. You listen to all kinds of junk. I don't want my ears to receive any kind of a junk. No. No. This ear is consecrated. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is speaking. But if your ear is not consecrated, no blood, you cannot hear the Spirit. You can hear all kinds of terrible things and believe them. But when the Lord spoke to you, you have no ears to hear. You said, no. Why? I don't agree with that. It's not there. Give me a verse. You can give him a 100 verses. They will not understand what you're talking about. Right. So, praise the Lord. This is very important for the priest here, to hear the Lord. This is very important. You talk about consecrating to the Lord, but you don't hear him. What's the point? How about the right thumb? You know, the thumb is very important for your hand. If you don't have a thumb, you can't do anything. You should be very happy that the monkeys didn't have a strong thumb. That's why they cannot do so much. But with you, you have a very strong thumb. You know, it's hard to have a fist without a thumb. Right? You want to fight, you want to hit somebody, you need to have a fist, but without a thumb, you have a hard time. Don't lose your thumb. Okay? Don't lose your thumb. But then your thumb has to be saved to do the right thing. Otherwise, you'll be doing a lot of crazy things. You're going to hit your brother. You talk about, I love my brother, and then you hit him right there on the right head. No. Our hands are to do the work of the Lord, not just to do so many other things. We like to handle all many other things. Right? So our hand, our thumb, has to be with the blood of this ram of consecration. It has to be saved from doing a lot of things that we should not be doing. So if you're a consecrated person, other people may do a lot of things, but not you. Unless you're not consecrated, okay. If you're not consecrated, you're not a priest, well, okay, you know. Maybe you can do a lot of things, not necessarily bad things, but things that may not be pleasing to the Lord. Right? But if you're consecrated, there are many things that you cannot do. Not necessarily bad things. No, of course bad things you shouldn't do. But things that is not well-pleasing to God, you cannot do. And then here, you have the big toes of the right foot. Now your foot belongs to the Lord. Sorry. There are many places you cannot go. Many times people invited me, let's go there, or let's go here, let's go there. Can we go? I said, you can go. But sorry, I cannot go. Right? You're free to go any place. As a priest, we are not free to go any place. You still want to be a priest, Tao? Yeah. Really? Well, then the consecration is that even your right toe, you have to have the blood of the consecration ram on your right toe. Once you see that blood on the right toe, you're not free. Just like our Lord Jesus, when he was on this earth, he was not free to do anything he wanted. Like I said, it's not bad things. It may be very good things. But if you're a consecrated person, you cannot. And there are certain places you cannot go because you're consecrated. You know, just like I know somebody who works for in Taiwan, there is a special place where all the military secrets and weapons are being developed. If you work for that place, you cannot just go any place you like. They will not allow you to. You cannot go any place you like. Right? So, we are consecrated to the Lord. And this is what consecration really means. People can listen to any kind of things. We cannot. You have to have a discerning ear. Right? And then you cannot do anything you like because your hands is now consecrated to the Lord. And your right toe is consecrated. You cannot go anywhere you like. Sorry. Right? You're limited by him. All of these, I know, it sounds like restriction. Okay? Sharon, you still want to consecrate yourself? You do? You want to be restricted? Not by a man, not by anybody, but in everything you do, you ask the Lord. I don't think I need to explain too much, right? Is it clear? It is clear, right. Amen. And then it says here, where am I now? Okay. Right, 22, right? Oh, no. Yeah, 22. Also, you shall take the fat of the ram and the fat tail and the fat that covers the entrails and the fatty lobe attached to the liver, the two kidneys and the fat on them and the right thigh, for it is a ram of consecration. And you should realize that this ram of consecration is very similar to the peace offering. Okay? It is very similar. Although it's called the ram of consecration, but this consecration is similar to the peace offering. Because, hey, you have to be, to have peace with God. You cannot do things that is contrary to Him. Right? You should be fully reconciled to God. The peace offering. It is similar to the peace offering. Then one loaf of bread, one cake made with oil, one wafer from the basket of the unleavened bread that is before the Lord, and you shall put all these in the hands of Aaron and in the hands of his sons, and you shall wave them as a wave offering before the Lord. What is a wave offering again? It talks about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? That's why it's called a wave offering. And the heave offering, the word heave means to ascend. That talks about the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. If something is dead, it doesn't move. It'll be terrible if this Bible begins to wave back and forth. It's not a good sign, right? And so you can really see there is the wave offering here. And you shall wave them as a wave offering before the Lord, because in your consecration you really need the power of His resurrection. No wonder Paul said in Philippians, I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection, including the fellowship of His sufferings. Because if you cannot suffer, not willing to suffer, you cannot be a priest. To do God's work, there's a lot of suffering. Yep. Right? So all of these, the loaf of bread, one cake with oil, one wafer, the basket, right? From the basket of unleavened bread, you need to take this unleavened bread. What is the unleavened bread? Those cakes, they are the meal offering. Talking about the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Without leaven, there's unleavened bread, right? Going through all kinds of ways to bake, meaning to say the Lord went through all kinds of suffering to be perfected. And so you can really see, and then you shall receive them back from their hands and burn them on the altar as a burnt offering, as a sweet aroma before the Lord. It is an offering made by fire to the Lord. Then you shall take the breast of the ram of Aaron's consecration, wave it as the offering before the Lord. Of course, the first is the burnt offering, then the breast of the ram offering, consecration offering, wave it as a wave offering before the Lord, and it shall be your portion. The breast is Moses' portion. And from the ram of the consecration, you shall consecrate the breast of the wave offering, which is wave, and the thigh of the heave offering, which is raised, of that which is for Aaron and his sons. Praise the Lord. It's complicated. So you have the burnt offering and the portion of the burnt offering is all burned for God. But then you have here, you shall take the breast of the ram of Aaron's consecration, wave it as a wave offering before the Lord. It shall be your portion. One breast is for Moses, and from the ram of the consecration, another wave offering, plus the thigh, the strength of the heave offering, which is raised, that is for Aaron, and which is for his sons. So here you can see, right, Aaron and his son must have one breast and one thigh, one wave and one heave. This is important for the consecration. Of course, the breast signifies a love. It's not a simple love. It is love in the power of resurrection. It is the love of the new man, not the old kind of love. Our natural human love is fallen. You may love today, tomorrow you hate. So the world uses the word love-hate relationship. Today you love, tomorrow you hate. And then the next day you love again, and then you hate again. And I don't know, you might end up just hating. No love anymore. But not this wave breast here. This is the love of Christ in resurrection. It is powerful. The love will remain forever. Amen. Right? And then you have the heave thigh, which is the strongest part. Right? The thigh is the strongest part. Right? So here you can see the heave in ascension, which talks about the power, the strength. And the strength is actually to deal with God's enemies. So the Lord today in his ascension is sitting on the throne until all the enemies will become his footstool. So as a priest, on one hand, we need to have the wave breast of love, but we also need the strength of his ascension to deal with so many troubles and enemies of God. We need that. This is the consecration. Right? And then they should eat the meat of the ram of consecration. Yeah. And of course, they should eat also the bread, the unleavened bread. You have to be filled, because consecration is not just consecration. It means your hands are filled. Right? You're filled. And they shall eat those things with which the atonement was made, to consecrate and to sanctify them. But an outsider shall not eat, because they are holy. And they should eat it 7 days. That means it is a complete consecration. Verse 37. 7 days you shall make atonement for the altar and sanctify it, and the altar shall be most holy. Whatever touches the altar must be holy. Right? And here in verse 35 also, thus you shall do to Aaron and his sons according to all that I have commanded you. 7 days you shall consecrate them. Praise the Lord. So may the Lord, I think time is up right now, realize that the consecration of the priesthood is not a very simple consecration. Don't just say, Lord, I give myself to you. You know, I've seen so many people in the past just declaring, hallelujah, we are for Christ and the church. Okay, it's a wonderful declaration. But no bulls, no rams, no cakes, nothing. And the result is after a while is no more for Christ and the church. I don't know what they are for. And with the time, the consecration changed. They're for something else. All of a sudden, they're for ministries of somebody. All of a sudden, they are just for work, for a big work. And all of a sudden, they are for so many crazy things. And they became this and that. Where is the consecration? Right. You need to have the consecration according to what the Word of God specified. Then your consecration will not change. Otherwise, it's going to change. I've seen so many people change already. Believe me. I've seen so many people change. If not today, tomorrow, next month, next year, 10 years later, 15 years, 20 years later, even 40 years later, people change. Because it's not a consecration that the Lord wants. But with this consecration, you have, praise the Lord, a sin offering, you have the burnt offering, you have the meal offering, you have the peace offering. You have the wave, the heave offering. Well, all the offerings were included in this wonderful consecration. And don't tell me we don't need them anymore. Okay, that's fine. You don't need them. Sorry, I need them. You don't want them, that's your business. But it's written in Word. And today, we have the reality of all these wonderful offerings. Somebody says, oh, it's so complicated. Why? There are not 70 offerings, there are only 7. Right? You have burnt offering, meal offering, peace offering, sin offering, trespass offering, plus wave and heave offering, 7. Is it so hard to learn the 7 offerings? Let's have 7 conferences. I'll give you one conference per offering. How about that? Is it so difficult? Some people say, it's so difficult for me to tell which offering is which offering. I said, of course, in the beginning it'll be very difficult. When you went to kindergarten, you don't learn physics right away. Even 1 + 1, you have a hard time, = 2. You have a hard time. You cannot tell. A, B, C, D, you cannot tell. Well, it takes time. With only 7 offerings, you think you cannot differentiate, you want to give up, and not only give up, you're opposing. Well, what's wrong with you? Right? So, hey, it is not that difficult. After a few weeks of exercise and learning, after half a year, you will be very, very fluent and competent in preparing such a wonderful offering for the Father. Right? After 1 year, after 2 years, you'll be a professional priest. Professional heavenly priest. It's not hard. But if you don't want to do it, then everything is hard. It's not that it's difficult. It's just you don't want it. Okay, if you don't want it, that's fine. Nobody's forcing anybody to do it. Right? So, may the Lord really open our eyes. Go back and read. You know, I'm trying to catch up with the time and couldn't go into full details. Right? But hey, you all can read it for yourself. Now you realize how much a proper real consecration has to do with the offerings. If you don't know all these offerings, how are you going to consecrate yourself as the priesthood? And especially if you believe that we don't need all these, okay, then how are you going to consecrate yourself? You tell me. Give me a better way to consecrate yourself as a priest. Now, Sharon, give me a better way, a shortcut, an easier way to consecrate yourself. Please, I'm open. I'm open-minded. tell me of another scriptural way to consecrate yourselves. I don't think anybody can do it. Because that's what is written there. God doesn't give you a choice how to consecrate yourself. Okay? Amen?
Amen.
Good. Let's stop here.